awesome here in this place, and I just look forward to it. And so I hope that all of us are just waiting for what God is going to do. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, as we open up your word now, I ask that you will send your Holy Spirit to us. Give us understanding, give us wisdom, give us knowledge, and may your Spirit guide us into all truth. For I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. A reporter was covering a coal mine disaster, and he wrote a story, and he sent this story to his editor. And the story began like this. God looked at the grief today in this little West Virginia mining town, and he wept. And the city editor responded with an emailed back, and he says, forget the mine cave-in. He says, interview God. Obviously, getting to know God is something that is very personal. Getting to know God is something that should be our greatest and biggest priority in our life. If we plan on spending eternity with Him, then it probably seems like a good idea that we get acquainted with Him now, wouldn't you think? And it may be later than we think. He played a French horn at the age of 12. And by the time he was 15, he was playing professionally with some of the top jazz musicians of the day. He became the first black musician to break the Hollywood color barrier as a composer. And he is best known as the composer of the score for The Color Purple. But it hasn't come easy. Quincy Jones has been married 3 times, survived 2 brain surgeries, and endured a complete emotional breakdown. Many years ago, he faced surgery for an aneurysm that threatened to kill him. And the doctors told him that he had the chances of recovery, that the chances of recovery were 100 to 1, and miraculously, he survived. Jones was asked, what did you start doing differently after your operation? And Joan says, the first thing that I started to do was hug a lot. I started hugging a lot. And when you get to be 50, he says, you start dealing with the countdown and you can deal with it in a positive or a negative way. I see this little life to be this great gift. You know that old cliche about your life passing in front of you? Well, it really does. Now, I don't know if Quincy Jones is a Christian or not, but hugging others became a priority. Now, when you think about this, what were his priorities prior to this? After the operation, after he had this life-threatening surgery and situation happen in his life, then he had a priority to begin hugging people. Now, certainly, that is a good motive. Certainly, that would be a good priority. And certainly realizing how quickly life goes by is a good priority to have. Now, we are, in a sense, here today, and we're gone tomorrow, aren't we, brothers and sisters? We have to realize that. We must, as we come to realize this, we must begin to understand that we must have our priorities right. Brothers and sisters, we are in a time that people are doing an examination of themselves. This is an opportune time for people to begin to examine themselves. And we begin to ask ourselves a question, well, what priorities do I have in my life? What are my priorities? What are your priorities for any given day, perhaps, you might be asking? What is your first order of business when you wake up in the morning besides getting out of bed and cleaning up your body? Is it breakfast? Is it read the paper? Is it TV news? Is it pray? Read the scriptures? What is it? Turn with me to Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. And let's notice something. Mark chapter 1 and verse 35. Mark chapter 1 and verse 35. This is speaking of Jesus. Now notice, in Mark chapter 1, verse 35, it says, "And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there," what did he do? He prayed. Before the sun was even up, Jesus went out and went into a solitary place. And there he prayed. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31, it says, "So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God." In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, it says, "Seek first the kingdom of God." And as I look at these texts and as I read any text in Scripture, I have to do a personal examination of myself. Because as I understand, Scripture becomes the authority in my life. Scripture is the Word of God. And so therefore, everything that I read within its pages must be the authority of how I should live my life. And so as I read Scripture, and as I read these texts, and I see them, then I cannot help but then begin to examine myself to see if I am living my life according to the text that I am now reading. Are you following? If the Bible is my authority, and it tells me that this is the way that I should live my life, then there should be a personal examination done by every single person that opens up its pages, correct? And to see if I am living my life according to what the Bible is saying. If this is what the Scriptures tell me to do, then I must check to see if I'm living my life in harmony with what it is saying. Now, an examination. I'm sure that most Americans right now are examining or have done this personal examination, especially at this time of year. This is the reason for New Year's resolutions, isn't it? And I'm sure that there have been many of you here today that have made some New Year's resolutions. A person examines him or herself and they see what they don't like about themselves and they resolve to change it. That's what a resolution is all about. Now, there is a problem with this concept. There is a big problem with this concept, and that is that we are examining ourselves through the eyes of the flesh. We are examining ourselves with the eyes of the flesh. How is it that we should be examining ourselves? We should be examining ourselves as God sees us, because in the end, this is what matters. Therefore, as I look back on my year 2006, I ask the questions that God asks of me. What fruit have I borne? What have I done for the kingdom? What has my influence been upon others? Whom have we been instrumental in gathering to the fold of Christ? Has my life been a living epistle known and read of everybody that I come in contact with? Did I follow the example of Jesus in self-denial, in meekness, in humility, in forbearance, in cross-bearing, in devotion? Did the world acknowledge me as a child of God? These are questions that must be answered by every single individual in this room, brothers and sisters. Did you live your life in 2006 for Jesus? What did you do for Him? And that is something that is between you and God. And when it comes down to that day that my name is called up in judgment, this is what gets reviewed, brothers and sisters. If my answer to those questions is a no, then brothers and sisters, I hope and pray that you praise God right now, because He, in His infinite mercy, has given you another chance to get your life in order. We have an opportunity to correct the errors that we have made in the past. Praise God for new beginnings. Praise God that I have an opportunity to make the wrongs that I have done and make them right. We are called to be wise men, brothers and sisters, and we are not to be foolish. The Bible talks many times about the wise and the foolish. Do you know what a fool is? A fool is someone who does not learn from their mistakes. A fool is someone who makes errors and continues to commit those same errors over and over again, never learning from their mistakes. A wise person is one who learns when they have made a mistake and they adjust their lives accordingly, brothers and sisters. The reason that we make these spiritual mistakes is because why? Because we do not truly know God. You know, Satan's plan is to cause mankind to forget his maker. Satan's plan is to cause mankind to forget his maker. And brothers and sisters, he has succeeded. We forget about him, and not only that, but Satan has also succeeded in getting us to cherish a false conception of God. Many believe God to be severe. Many believe God to be unmerciful, someone to be feared. How is it that that misrepresentation of God has entered into the minds of God's people? We have become a people so absorbed in the worldly cares, and Christ is saddened by it because we have become a people who have no time to be acquainted with God. To people who live their lives like this, heaven is a strange place. They are not familiar with heavenly things. They even get tired of hearing about them. They hate to have their minds disturbed with talk of salvation. All the while, God desires to disturb their minds long enough so that they might accept his offer of salvation. The pages of history continues to turn with each passing second and minute and hour, day, week, month, and year. And the closer we get to something big, the closer we get to this end times, we know that something big and something huge and something unheard of is going to happen, brothers and sisters. Something that has not been seen since there ever was a nation, the Bible says. Something is coming, brothers and sisters. Something is coming. And the question is, are you ready? For most of us, the answer is no. We still don't know God. We have a misunderstanding, a misconception of who he is. His character is misrepresented. But as I look at this table right here, brothers and sisters, and as you look upon this table, and as you partake of this table, we cannot help but see that his character is well represented right here. This character is right here where I can best understand it. Here, Christ came to reveal God to the world as a God of love. Not one who is severe, not one who is unmerciful, not one who is to be feared, but one who is to be loved. He came to demonstrate a God of love. He came to demonstrate and show a God of mercy, a God of tenderness, and a God of compassion. Won't you acquaint yourself with that love? Come to the table. Examine yourself, brothers and sisters. The cross reveals that love. It is then at that point that the shroud of darkness that the enemy has placed about the throne of God has been removed, and now we see it as light. And the light of love is being demonstrated and shown throughout the world, brothers and sisters. Have you experienced the light? As you come to the table, you come face to face with that light. As you come to the table, you come face to face with that love. You come face to face with that sacrifice that was made upon the cross. Have you acquainted yourself with that light? Brothers and sisters, examine yourselves. And examine yourself in the light of the cross. And when we examine ourselves in the light of the cross, it is there that we see how wretched and poor and blind and naked we really are. And it is then that we realize how much change is needed in our lives. When I see my condition in the light of the cross, then can I make a resolution worth making. Here is my resolution, brothers and sisters. Job chapter 22. Job chapter 22. Job chapter 22, 21 and 22. Says, acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace. Thereby good shall come unto thee. Receive, I pray thee, the law from his mouth and lay up his words in thine heart. Brothers and sisters, this is a resolution. This is what takes place when I see my condition in the light of the cross, that I must acquaint myself with my Maker, that I must come to an understanding of who He is. And so my prayer, as we begin this new year, brothers and sisters, resolve to become acquainted with Him, because let me tell you, something is coming, and you better be ready. Something is coming. Brothers and sisters, this is a time of examination. This is a time that we need to see our condition in the light of the cross. This is why we celebrate communion. This is why we become reminded with the things of the cross. This is why we are reminded of that sacrifice. Because, brothers and sisters, we have a tendency to forget. And we forget what we look like. Because many times we don't come to the mirror, which is Jesus Christ. And I hope that this is a time that we can come to that mirror. And that we are faced with the reality that we are sinners and are in need of a Savior. I hope that this is a time that if you have not made a resolution, that you do it through with spiritual eyesight as God sees it. And as God sees you and me, and that we resolve to become better acquainted with Him in this new year, and that we are ready for when He comes, because we don't know what is going to take place, brothers and sisters, in this year 2007. Examine yourselves. This is why the table. Come to the table. Examine yourselves in the light of the cross. Make a change. Brothers and sisters, at this time we are going to separate for the ordinance of humility. We have three different rooms. The women will be out here as you exit, off to your right in the fellowship hall. The men will be out to your left and down this corridor here, this hallway. It'll be the second door on your right. For those of you, the married couples, families that would like to experience this ordinance of humility together, we have the second. This becomes reality to us now, the cross of Christ. You see his broken body, his shed blood. And this is as real as we can experience it other than by faith. And as I partake of it and as I see it, I cannot help but be faced with the cross and the sacrifice, that broken body and that shed blood. And it is there that I cannot help as well but to lay all that I have, my sinfulness, my burdens, at the foot of the cross. As I have examined myself in the light of that sacrifice, I see how much I am in need of a Savior and how much I am in need of partaking of this body and of this blood. And so as we continue with this service, I'm going to ask that Tony say a prayer over the bread while we three kneel and the rest of the congregation remains seated.
Dear Father and Lord of heaven and earth, Lord, we thank you so much, Lord, for sending your Son to this earth, Lord, to save us who were lost, Father. There was no greater love that you could have shown us, Lord. And we know that he was manifested into this world, Lord, to save us from our sins. And we know that in him there was no sin, Lord. And through his life, death, and resurrection, Lord, we know we have our salvation, Lord. And we can come to your throne to ask forgiveness with confidence, Lord. And we pray that each time that we want to waver from the directions that you want us to follow, Lord, that we think of this sacrifice, Lord, this great sacrifice that he made only for us, Lord. And we know that, we also know, Lord, that through his sacrifice, Lord, he has given us the victory over sin and over Satan, Lord. And we give you all the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
This bread represents the broken body of Jesus Christ and how it was broken for you and for me. How precious a thought that is. As the deacons serve the congregation, we reserve this time to share in testimony of how God has led us. There is a roaming mic that is going around. If there is anybody that would like to share in testimony, please raise your hand and share what God has done for you in your life. This is your time. In the back.
I want to thank God this moment because he brought me to this far, my family, myself. But I also want to thank him because last year I went through a spinal surgery and I had a heart attack. I had three already. But I praise the Lord that he still keeps me alive. And I ask that the life he gives me will be for the honor and glory of his name.
Amen. Amen. Anyone else?
Hello, I want to thank Jesus for my family, all of them. And thank you for all his healing and his power. Amen.
Amen.
I want to say thank you to the Lord. There's been so many blessings, so much healing that he has given us. And every day, a new day with the trees and the sky and the healing that is comes from his nature as well as from his spirit. I just want to tell him how thankful I am for his love.
Amen.
I want to thank God for a friend of ours who was just hit by a roadside bomb in Iraq. He had no chance whatsoever. They had pronounced him dead several times. He's only 21. And you might have read about him in the paper, Dave Shibb. And because of everybody's prayers and God's love, he's still alive and has a chance. And they're giving him a chance that he's going to survive. And I'd also like to thank God for his love and his mercy. And even though I keep sliding, keeps bringing me back to church. And I'd like to thank him for that.
Amen.
I'd like to thank Jesus for the many blessings he has given me and my family, for the big ones and the small ones. I'm ever so thankful.
Amen.
I also would like to ask the church to pray for my brother Art. He's still convalescing, but I would like to ask the church to pray for him that he would get well so he can come back to church.
Amen. Roger, you want to say a prayer over Art at this time? Okay, go to the mic.
Heavenly Father, We ask you, Lord, to just send your healing hand upon Art as he has been suffering so much through these last few weeks. It looks, Lord, like you have helped him, and he is recovering, albeit slow, but he is with us, and he's in our hearts and our prayers all the time. And we thank you, Lord, for healing him, and we look forward to him coming back and telling us about his experience. We thank you, Lord, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Anyone else? With this verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 24, we get a sense of what was done for us and how significant it is. And it says, when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you, for me." For us. How can I not be moved by that? I can include my name right there. Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for Antonio. Broken for Roger. For Michael. For Tony. For David. Romeo. Rebecca. All of us here. Broken for me. This do in remembrance of me. again, just as we prayed over the bread, I'm going to ask Roger to pray over the juice while we three kneel and the rest of the congregation remains seated.
Dear Heavenly Father, Jesus Christ, this juice on this table represents your blood that was spilled and you died for us, Lord, because it's the only way that our sins could be paid for. It's the only way that we can find salvation is through your blood. We're so grateful, Lord, for your love, that you're there for us every day, every moment, every hour. We ask you, Lord, to bless this occasion and to be with each one here as we partake of this juice, which represents your blood. We thank you and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Again, if there is anybody that would like to share in testimony of the victories, perhaps, that they have experienced in this past year, want to share, perhaps, some joys, even some prayer requests, please.
I would just like to thank the Lord for always being with my family. There are some brothers and sisters in my family who are missing from the church, and they were brought up in this church, and when they grew up, they kind of went their separate ways and left the church. But I pray every night that God will bring them back, if not to our church, then to any church, to bring them back to Him. And I'd like to have a prayer request for that and for my brother who was working in construction and fell 12 feet and broke his pelvic bone. I just want to pray that if you could pray for him, that he will heal quickly and take some of the pain away. Thank you.
Tony, why don't you pray over him?
Dear Father in heaven, we pray for Barbara Diaz's family, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will be with them, Lord, and to guide them, Lord, and to direct them back to in the path that they should be, path in the life that they should be living, Lord. And we also pray for her brother, Lord, that his healing will come as quickly and as possible, Lord, as far as can be, Lord. We pray that your Spirit will be with him, Lord, that you will lay your healing hand on him, Lord, and that he will soon be back into health, Lord, and be back into his full physical condition, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Anybody else?
I would like to prayer request. My cousin Gabriel, he's been in jail, and I talked to him. He wrote a letter to me recently. And as people have heard, probably jail is not a pleasant place to be, and he's been starting to read the Bible and pray a lot, and so I think it's a good thing, and I hope that he can come to the Lord that way. So I'd like to pray for Gabriel, please.
Okay. You want to give the mic over to Chuck? Chuck, would you mind praying for Gabriel?
Our dear Heavenly Father, there are troubles in the world that won't be done away with until you come again, Father, to change the hearts and minds of the people in this world. We pray for our dear friend, how he is in dire need of your fellowship. And help us, Father, to keep him in our prayers continually, because this is a hard world that we're in today. It seems like there's a lot of people that don't know Jesus, and we know him, and we should share him with everybody that's in trouble. And Alex, he's one that to do this, to be, go see his cousin and love him and show him that Jesus cares for him. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I would like to thank the Lord for bringing me back and for all the many blessings he's given me. Thank you for, I also would like to thank the church members for praying and for all the answered prayers.
Amen. Glad to have you back.
I want to thank the Lord for giving me another year to live with my family. Most of you had prayed for me this past year. I was diagnosed with Meniere's disease, and I'm just thankful that I have you guys and that all of you have prayed for me. And I asked that you guys pray for my parents who are having a struggle right now with their faith. And I just ask if you guys can just pray for them.
Helen, would you mind praying over them?
We're thankful to you, Lord, for the healing that you bring to us in so many ways. I pray for Madeline, that you would continue to heal her, and strengthen her, and bless her family. We pray for her parents now, that you would send your spirit, your angels, to draw them to Jesus. Put your arms around them and give them the joy and peace that you know they need. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
I have a friend at work whose daughter has a tumor in her head, and pretty much it doesn't look very well, and I'm sure pretty close to death, but there's just the Holy Spirit that just kind of spoke to me yesterday, and because I was hearing non-hope in the voice of her mother, and her mother sounding off like maybe she's losing hope too. But now I'm thinking that there is hope, because there's always hope where Jesus is and where the Holy Spirit is. So I'm praying for a reversal of whatever the problems are that's hindering her health and her life. And also for everybody here, their family members, and I pray for the infilling of the Holy Spirit for each and every one of our lives, and to thank God for bringing us all through another year. And thank you, Jesus, for our lives.
You wanna give that mic to Michael Manavan, right here in front of you. In front of you over here, Michael Manavan. Michael, would you mind praying over Woody's friend?
Dear Father, thank you for the love of your mercy that you have given us through your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, we are here asking you to help us so that we may be, become your good children in your kingdom. Help us to be ready. Lord, we have a problem. We give a problem to you. Also, good friends and family. Be with them, show them the way. Lord, just be with them. Show them, help them, so they may too will have the opportunity to serve you. Thank you, Lord. Give a new life, a new hope. In his name, amen.
It's such a blessing to be alive in 2007. I went to a funeral this week, and I was reminded of this precious gift we have of life. And at the mortuary, there was a calendar in the back hallway that indicated that there was a funeral. The funeral was on Thursday, that there was going to be a funeral on Friday. There were two funerals scheduled on Saturday. And then on Monday and Tuesday, there was a funeral pending. And I just would like to remind everyone here that life is real precious, and we're pending. And so God has given us the opportunity to have some time to make things right with him. And so I pray that we would be reminded by this service, the sacrifice that God has made for us, and be able to make it to the kingdom with him.
Amen.
Thinking of them, I can witness in front of the Sunday church and tell them about the Sabbath day and give me the courage to stand up there in front of a couple hundred people. And later on, their Sunday pastor went up to my dad and said, I know the Sunday church is not the real church, and just thank for that.
Wow. That's pretty incredible.
Thank God. Yes. I want to thank God for all the blessings that he has given, not only to my children and myself, but I thank him for the church family here, and I want to ask for prayer for my children that some are not attending church, and for my husband that had stopped going to church. And God is an awesome God, and no matter what happens around us, we should always keep our eyes on him.
Alex, you want to pray for her family?
Okay. Lord, we pray and we ask you help bring her family and her husband back to church. We know it's a safe place for them to be, to worship you. Thank you for all you've given us. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.
I just want to thank God for the past year, that year 2006, and it's a miracle. It's an awesome God that helped me to help my people. It's I've been in this church for 16 years. Before, you know, I'm back and on, you know, that but now I can see God give us this land that they can help us, that we don't have much love in San Jose. Is a lot of loud, and it's almost 2,000 people, but thank God for a few family, you know, that God brought us to know him, the truth and the light. And I would like everyone to pray for us. Sometimes, you know, you knew you didn't recognize us. We have a group, now it's few, that I thank God for God using my husband and my son to help his work. And thank God for that he using me also to help my husband to do his will. Thank
Amen.
You.
Amen. Anybody else?
I just want to acknowledge God and thank him for his infinite mercies and for all the blessing that he has bestowed upon my family. And I want to ask him to bless this congregation, and not just our physical family, but our church family, that we may be strong and remain in the faith. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
I want to ask prayers for my granddaughter, Monique. She will be starting chemotherapy to shrink a tumor in her head. And also for my daughter-in-law, Michelle, who is struggling with her health.
Okay. Oria, would you mind saying a prayer over our family?
Heavenly Father, Lord in heaven, we ask you for their special blessing upon this family, for healing, as we know that you made us and you can heal us, and that thy will be done, and that we may accept whatever you have in store for us, and with grace. All these blessings us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Is there anyone else?
I'd like to thank God for working on my parents, even though they don't
believe in my faith, they've seen God work in my life and change my life, that has helped them to accept that there is a God and that God is all around us and in me. And the reason why that I believe that God brought me back home, because I was, you know, out of the house, that God brought me back home to be a greater witness to my parents.
Amen. First Corinthians 11 and verse 25. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." Scriptures, it says that when they had eaten, that they before they left, they sang a hymn. Why don't we turn to page 318? Let's sing "Whiter Than Snow." Let's sing the first and the last while we remain seated. 318.
Lord Jesus, I long to be perfectly whole. I want thee forever to live in my soul. Break down every idol, cast out every foe. Now wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Whiter than snow, yes, whiter than snow. Now wash me and I shall be whiter than snow.
Last verse.
Lord Jesus, thou seest I patiently wait. Come now and within me a new heart create. To those who have sought thee, thou never saidst no. Now wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Whiter than snow, yes, whiter than snow. Now wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow.
Let us all stand. After we say the benediction, I ask that you will all be seated once more. The deacons will then usher you out. As you exit the sanctuary, it is typically that we collect a deacon's offering during our communion Sabbath, and that will be collected at the door. The deacons will have a plate there, and if you could be generous and you're given there as well, this offering is used for our members and emergencies that come up. And so I do hope and pray that you will give generously to that, the deacon's offering. And so why don't we bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, what an experience that we have shared together here today. Father, we have come in light of the cross and the sacrifice that was made upon it by your Son, Jesus Christ. We recognize our sinfulness and our weakness and our insignificance, perhaps. But Lord, I know that it is through that sacrifice that we are made whole, and that you make us whiter than snow because of that blood that was shed. And so, Father, as we begin this new year, not knowing what lies ahead, Father, we trust wholeheartedly that you do. And so, God, we trust that you will lead us by the hand, and that you will take us through any difficulty, any trial, any test that may come our way this coming year. But, Lord, we do have the assurance once more that we are in the hands of the Creator, the Master of this universe, and we have nothing to fear. And so bless us now as we depart from this place, and may your Spirit go with us, for we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.